Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, April the 19th. Have you ever been to France? What was your experience like? Especially, how were you treated by the French people? Were you treated like an ugly American by a rude, arrogant French citizenry? If you've never been to France, is that the perception that you have, that the French hate Americans and are rude to Americans? Well, our guest this hour heard those things before he went on sabbatical to France some months ago. And he recently read about how presidential candidate Mitt Romney is being advised from his strategist, who are helping him run for the GOP presidential nomination, that he should start running strongly against various boogeymen like France. The Boston Globe columnist who wrote about this story started his piece tongue-in-cheek, "Ah, the French, those fussy, arrogant, cheese-eating, wine-drinking snobs." Our guest wonders, where did this come from? He has experienced nothing but kindness from the French, and he wrote about his experience in a recent column in the Christian Science Monitor. And he has agreed to join us to talk with you about perception and reality when it comes to the French. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Jerry Lanson is a professor of journalism at Emerson College. He's on sabbatical in Aix-en-Provence, France. His article, "The French Connection," appeared last week in the Christian Science Monitor. Bonjour.
Bonjour. How are you today, Joy?
I'm good. It's actually afternoon there?
It is 1 o'clock here. It's very early there.
Well, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Do you speak French?
Un peu, a little.
So do you mangle it daily?
I mangle it daily, but the French people love it when you mangle their language. They really prefer for you to try than to not.
That's what I heard when I was on tour, a European tour last summer, and the tour guide said when we were visiting Paris that it's important to at least attempt speaking a little French, that the French would appreciate that. So it was a little bit intimidating because I didn't know a whole lot of French.
It can be intimidating, but I find that the French are very encouraging, and they, as a people, have tremendous pride in their language and really appreciate the world trying to speak it.
Yeah, so do you think some of us think that that pride in the language is being perceived as arrogance?
I think sometimes it can be. I think that we as Americans know that English has become more and more of the international language. There was recently a two-part series in the International Herald Tribune about just that. And French is such, among other things, such a beautiful language. It's such a musical language. I think that the French believe that if you're really going to understand their culture, you have to at least try to speak a bit of their language.
Yeah. I mangled an order at a street cafe in Paris. I did manage to order a fromage, cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I did anyway, and then the waiter looked at me a little bit confused, and then I asked, did he speak English? And he said, and I'm not making this up, he said, but of course.
Uh-huh. Well, sometimes the Parisians are a little bit sure of themselves, let's put it that way. I think very often we as Americans mistake and misgauge all of the attitudes of France for the fastest moving Parisians. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't say everybody in the United States was like everyone in New York, although I am a New Yorker, I might add.
Yeah. So you found, in fact, I think I read that you at a hotel you were staying at, the proprietor knew English, but would speak only French to you because you wanted that.
Yes. Well, that's happened a number of times. I mean, this actually, when we were in Paris, it's happened at a couple of places. We were in Paris for a few days, and the desk clerk there was delighted to let me speak French. And, you know, one of the things when you're trying to learn a language is to have the opportunity to practice. And hotels are wonderful places for that. And this was also true when we were in Villefranche for a few days on the Côte d'Azur, which is down, it's French Mediterranean. And the desk clerk there not only let us speak French, but drew out a very detailed map for hiking around the area. These sort of small acts of kindness take place daily, and I don't mean just letting people talk to you, whether it's somebody giving you an extra piece of patisserie in a bakery for free, or a taste of cheese in the market, the people or being particularly kind in a restaurant about saying, no, my job is to serve you. There's tremendous politeness. And as I wrote, we've really only had one bad experience the whole time we've been here, and that wasn't really all that terrible.
That was the taxi?
That's right. It was a cab driver. He was late at night, and he was trying to gouge us for a little bit extra.
But that will happen in New York, too.
It will happen in New York, most certainly, and in Boston.
But, you know, New York, that gets a bad rap, too. I heard so many things about rude New Yorkers, and I experienced nothing but kindness when I went to New York recently, too.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think often people in big cities move quickly, and they can be a little less gracious about chatting, and sometimes that's seen as rudeness, whereas it simply is that they're in a bit of a hurry, and if you get past that, they can be very delightful.
We're talking with Jerry Lanson. He's a professor of journalism at Emerson College. He's currently on sabbatical in France. He's talking with us about how he has not encountered the stereotypical, arrogant, rude French person, and he wonders why the French are dissed so much in this country. Do you have a theory or your own experience in France, perhaps? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock now on this Thursday, April the 19th. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is scheduled to testify today before the Senate Judiciary Committee about the firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. The Ideas Network will carry NPR's special coverage of the hearing, hosted by Neil Conan. We'll hear from NPR's Nina Totenberg and others for analysis. That's starting at 8:30 this morning. So a little earlier than it was originally scheduled on Tuesday, 8:30 in the morning, we will hear NPR's special coverage of this special testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee. That's going to go all day long, by the way. After it concludes, Ben Marins will have a guest analyst to talk with you about what we heard all day. That's coming up. Special coverage pretty much all day long. Chapter A Day listeners, please note that this will preempt the lunch hour airing of Chapter A Day. You can still hear it tonight at 11 o'clock in its repeat spot. And it's also going to be on our website for your listening at your convenience, WPR.org. Well, let's get back to our conversation this hour. We're talking with Jerry Lanson. He's a professor of journalism at Emerson College. He recently wrote an article that appeared in the Christian Science Monitor called The French Connection, where he wonders where the misperceptions of the French being fussy, rude, arrogant people, where did that come from? He has experienced nothing but kindness and friendliness from the French in his experience there for the past few months. He's on sabbatical. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about where this perception comes from, that the French are so rude, and what your experience has been. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We have an open line for you. I hope you join in our discussion. Fernando in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Fernando. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a couple points. This has really bugged me for a while. I'm not French or anything, but I think it boils down to like a basic kind of anti-Gallic or anti-Latin kind of prejudice. For me, it kind of became obvious during the Iraq War when, you know, they had, if you look at France and Germany, France served in the first Gulf War. They sent like 40,000 troops. And then in the second war, they at least debated it before they kind of opposed it. Whereas if you look at coverage of the Germans, they never even hardly debated it. They just opposed it from the very beginning. And yet if you watched some news outlets like Fox, they basically were just making fun of the French, like, constantly. Like, they were this kind of bogeyman. I think it was, like, this kind of divisive kind of fear-mongering that the French just got caught in. When I look at France, it's kind of hard for me to look at the Statue of Liberty, which they gave to us basically for free, and have anything against such a wonderful country and such a nice people. I've been there on business and on vacation a couple times, and they were on multi-country tours of Europe. I remember the French were always just the most polite, wonderful people to me, and I just felt so guilty sometimes thinking of all the horrible things we say about them. I think it just basically boils down to France being a rich, white country that openly criticizes us, and we're not used to that. We basically are used to being able to just bomb anybody who disagrees with us, and we don't bomb rich, white countries. So the French just particularly irk the right wing, and that's where most of that criticism comes from, in my opinion. Okay. But thanks for letting me give out my
Well, thank you very much for calling. What do you think, Professor Lanson?
Well, it's nice to hear from you. It's Fernando, I believe. I happened to have yesterday been in the village of Cassis, which is where the base of the Statue of Liberty actually came from.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty interesting. I think certainly we saw at the beginning of the Iraq War the party in power really turning on the French because Jacques Chirac refused to support that war and in a sense took a stand there. We had this fiasco of French fries becoming freedom fries
right.
for a
mm-hmm.
period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the basis is. In some ways, perhaps we get angry at the French because, in some ways, we are similar cultures. We're both outspoken cultures, and we're cultures that will speak our mind. I was talking with a student of mine who's a French student, graduate student at Emerson, and she made an interesting comment. She said that people from both countries have no problems judging others as if they. They're the key to everyone's problems instead of looking behind their own front doors. And I thought that was a nice comment, that perhaps in some ways the fact that the French are willing to be outspoken and state their views is unsettling to Americans, and yet we do the same thing.
Yeah. Yet when this Freedom Fry thing was going on, and
mm-hmm.
there were calls for boycotts against French products,
mm-hmm.
and there was all this dissing of France and
mm-hmm.
And the French, that didn't jade the French people. They don't hold that against Americans.
I don't think probably that George Bush, as he's called here, is terribly popular. But I think that the French make a very clear distinction in their own minds between Americans and French, and I think they're aware now that George Bush isn't terribly popular in the United States either from the latest polls that I've seen. So I think that the French are perfectly capable of making a distinction between a person who's interested in their culture and someone who is interested in denigrating their culture. And I think they start with the assumption that if you're visiting their country, you have an interest. But that's also where language becomes so important. They want to see that you are willing to engage at some level. I just pulled out a quote from Rick Steves today, who does some great travel writing. And he says that the biggest mistake most Americans make when traveling in France is trying to do too much in limited time. He said this approach is a mistake in the bustling North and a virtual sin in the relaxed South.
Mm.
So some of it's to take the time to smell the flowers, and in smelling the flowers, seeing the people who planted them.
Thanks very much, Fernando, for your call. Steve in Freedom is with us. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. When I was in the Navy, I had the opportunity to detached to France several times, and this was in the latter 70s, and that was just right after a time of De Gaulle, and there was, we were one of the first U.S. Navy units to go in there. We were really, really apprehensive about it, but while we were there, I found out that if you took the time, like your guest just said, to learn the people and learn their culture, and I took French in high school. They were quite friendly back then, and I had nothing but good times. And a perception I had coming out of the Navy when I retired is Americans have no sense of history, and I've seen so many sailors go around the world, and France included, and want the United States to be there. I mean, like McDonald's and things like that. And so when they're visiting other countries and we act like that, then it's not surprising that some people do have bad experiences. I've got to echo what your guest said. If you take the time and you speak the language and you're interested in their culture, they're very, very friendly. So that's my comment for the day.
Thank you very much, Steve. Reaction, Professor Lanson?
I agree. I couldn't say it any better. I appreciate the comment, and it's interesting that that was a comment made from a visit to France in the 1970s, when perhaps it was even a little more tension at least the perspective of Americans that the French were kind of cool and distant to this country, the United States.
I think we also hear in this country that we are viewed as ugly Americans, and maybe that fuels this stereotype.
I think that there that's probably true to some extent, that there's a little bit of a sense that do Americans come in as a bull in a china shop? And I think the best way of dealing with that is to not respond that way. I mean, if the feeling is, well, why don't Americans, why don't they know geography? Why don't Americans know anything about the culture? Then maybe the thing to do is to read up a little bit before you come. But even if you don't, I think if you're interested, it doesn't matter. I think that there is a lot of truth that if you come into any foreign country, but certainly into France with a sort of a chip on your shoulder, that there will be a response. That's not a positive one, but if you come in recognizing, I've always tried to poke fun at myself, and I think that if you have a sense of humor and if you can laugh at yourself, other people will laugh with you.
Yeah. Julian Oconomowoc, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have many echoes of what I hear said here from the ugly American, where I was sitting hearing a fellow American in a cafe speaking louder and louder as the French waiter was trying to communicate. And since they didn't speak English, this person became more obnoxious, and it truly was the ugly American and made me cower in the corner, not wanting to have any affiliation with that kind of behavior in Paris. But I lived there for a year when my kids were little, and I felt at the time that I should write a column in defense of the French, because I found in the community where we lived people to be more giving and caring and helpful than practically anyone I'd ever met. And the difference, I think, is that in France you earn their friendship, and once you have it for life. People are very loyal and very kind and sharing of their time and resource. And one example was a neighbor who I'd never met before who offered to come to my home when I had little kids and teach me French. Yeah. And she spent an hour or more a week for an entire year at her own expense.
That's a great story, Julie, and I wish we could go on, but we need to check news from National Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Thursday morning, April the 19th. And we are talking this hour with a professor of journalism at Emerson College who is on sabbatical right now in France. And we notice a piece that he wrote that was in the Christian Science Monitor yesterday. It was entitled last week. It was entitled The French Connection. And in it, he wondered where these stereotypes come from, that the French are rude, arrogant, fussy, cheese-eating, wine-drinking snobs. And he says, because while he's been on sabbatical there, he has experienced just the opposite. And we're talking with him about his experience in France and why these misperception about the French continue to this day. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for him and maybe your own experiences in France. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Jerry Lanson is our guest, and I'm not sure if our... Nope, I don't think Julian Oconomowoc was able to stay with us through the news. Julian Oconomowoc called and said she spent a year in France and had much the same experience that you did, Jerry Lanson, and actually did write an article also in defense of the French. You want to react to her story?
Yeah, I really liked her phrase that you earn their friendship and then you have it for life. I think that the French will measure you and see if you are engaged and interested. It's a nice comment. A couple of other real quick comments. One is I think you see a lot fewer ugly Americans in France. I think that there are plenty of Americans who actually love the French. I do think that there's a sharp division in the U.S. France is a kind of country I don't think that you have many people who are neutral. They either tend to love it or hate it. I don't know why exactly. And the last comment, I hope we get a chance to talk a little bit about the French sense of humor, because I think they have just a really wonderful sense of humor, which is part of the joy of being here.
Yeah. Would they have found that movie about NASCAR funny when, what is it called, Talladega Nights or something like that, where the French race car driver was portrayed as kind of fussy and his sponsor was Perrier?
I don't know that film.
It was making fun of the French, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think probably that the French get, I'm somewhat guessing here, I think the French, they play along, but that they probably get pretty weary of being told things like that they eat weird food, or that they don't shave, or the kinds of things that I have friends who are French in the United States that they hear. It's not that they're going to get huffy about it, but I think that if you hear sort of weary and tired stereotypes, you get tired of them. But the French have a wonderful sense of humor. I mean, we see that here, where that's where language can be a lot of fun. I mean, one experience that I had was I early on was trying to pay for un sandwich fromage, and I'd gotten an Evian, which is a type of water. Well, I was trying to pay for a sandwich fromage in l'avion, which is an airplane. And I kept trying to pay $5 for my airplane, and finally the woman behind the counter sort of spread her arms and started flying around the bakery. And we keep going into that bakery, and we know all the people in there, and it sort of broke the ice in a sense. Mm-hmm. We were talking at another point about the difference between an S and a Z. Fish is poisson and poison is poison. And the waitress sort of chimed in. She was putting things down. She said, "But sir, if I served you poison, you would be dead." so there's a real sparkle, I think, in the day-to-day interaction. I wish only that I had the depth of French to be able to really engage in certain ways, as Julie seemed to your caller.
Yeah. Well, that was wonderful that she found someone, too, that offered to teach her French.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You don't think that this ugly American who is getting all red in the face at the cafe because the waiter doesn't speak English, that doesn't happen very much anymore?
I think it still happens, but I think it's also a little bit of a weary stereotype the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I think Americans are pretty sophisticated travelers, and you get books like Steve's and Lonely Planet, which are a little sort of off the beaten path. You have people who Americans are, I think, actually quite admired by the French for the way that they their mobility and their ability to travel and to live in different places. It's a little perplexing to Europeans. They don't tend to live in as many different places as Americans often do. But I think that there are plenty of Americans who I still will hide out from, and you do see them, and there are certain places I try not to go, both in X and when I travel elsewhere, because there's a certain expectation, perhaps, as I said, that you at least speak our language, and the stereotype of somebody speaking louder if they can't, if the people don't speak their language, that's the kind of thing that I like to hide from. I see it among Americans. I see it from other countries, too.
Well, we thank Julie for her call. Amber in Madison is with us now. Hi, Amber.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've had the opportunity to do two exchanges to Bordeaux in high school, and also I've maintained my friendships through that. While on the exchange, I was able to attend the high school, the lycée, at Bordeaux, and we actually got to discussing the stereotypes of that Americans have of the French and the French that have of Americans, and it was quite interesting. The French believe that Americans are bad eaters, overweight, loud, and tacky dressers, while the Americans feel the same thing and the stereotypes that you've already discussed. I believe that the reason for the thinking that way comes back to the media. Not many French travel to America or have the experience of having a pen pal or a foreign exchange student to discuss the cultures and the differences. So the same with us Americans. Like you mentioned, Talladega Nights with the race car driver from France. Some Americans, that's their only exposure to another culture, and perhaps that's what they believe. I think it comes down to education and the media portraying us that way. But I have had only wonderful experiences in France, and I cannot wait to go back again.
Thank you, Amber, very much for passing that along. So her pen pal in France did kind of have stereotypes of Americans too, Jerry Lanson.
Oh, there's no question that there are some of the stereotypes. I knew I was going to come on the show, so I have four friends. I did a very unscientific survey, four French friends, and shot an email to them. And yeah, I mean, the sense that there is certainly a sense that we eat a lot of junk food and that Americans are overweight and. There is. I like the comment that Amber made about the media often helping to shape. A teacher in my wife's school, a French teacher, wrote that a lot of people in the U.S. believe French people do not like them. Of course, this is a preconceived idea based on, well, Fox News is what he wrote, and ignorance in general. He also made the point that culture is constantly seen through a variety of lenses, and that there is, this is the point I was making, there's not one American perception of the French, and there's not one French perception of Americans. The more that people read, the more that they open themselves up, I think, to other cultures as travelers, the more likelihood they are to have an experience which no experience is perfect, but which is one that gives them a sort of a true sense of who people are. Another person I wrote to wrote that one way to avoid stereotypes is to get to know the people whose country you live in, and it's good sense. Makes good sense.
We're talking with Jerry Lanson. He's a professor of journalism at Emerson College. He is now on sabbatical in Aix-en-Provence, France. He wrote a piece that appeared last week in the Christian Science Monitor entitled The French Connection, in which he talked about his experiences living in France and among the French and wondering where the stereotypes, what he considers misperceptions, have come from, that the French are rude and arrogant because he has discovered just the opposite. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We have an open line for you to talk about where you think these misperceptions come from and or your experiences, perhaps, in France. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, April the 19th. Were U.S. attorneys fired unfairly because of politics? What role did the Bush administration play? Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez will face these questions and more when he's on the hot seat before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. And we'll talk with a guest to preview those hearings and wonder whether Alberto Gonzalez has a political future coming up after 7 o'clock. We will be carrying coverage of those hearings starting at 8:30 this morning here on the Ideas Network. Right now, we're talking with a guest who says, Viva les French. He is living in France right now and saying that the French are very kind, friendly people, nothing at all like the stereotypes many of us have heard. And our next caller for him is Carolyn in Chicago. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. This is an extremely interesting conversation. As I had found in my travels throughout France, my husband and I were there about 8 years ago. The French were incredibly kind.
How so?
Helping. We spoke very, very little French. Helping in the subways when we traveled. Just in our travels, we traveled from Paris to the south of France. And at the toll booth, wishing you a good day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Choices on a menu. They would help with selections. They were delightful, and maybe we need to take a look at their lives, because when we were there, we did not see any overweight French people. They were elegant, wonderful, kind people.
Yeah. Jerry Lanson?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I've lost some weight here, although I've eaten awfully well.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good diet, and the food is incredibly fresh, and you either get good food or incredibly good food. I want to say something about what Carolyn said and use it as a springboard for talking about the whole idea of politeness, which in our society, and particularly in the large East Coast cities, tends to get forgotten. Politeness is really important to the French. They don't simply say bonjour, they say bonjour, monsieur et madame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for a visitor to do the same back, because that is a gauge. I mean, you don't go to a counter in a store and put something down and just pay. You say bonjour, madame, if it's a madame. I'm thinking of a particular experience the other day where the woman looked up and said it to us. So the sense of being polite is important. I'll tell a story in myself where maybe somebody might have perceived that we were being treated rudely, but in fact we'd been rude. We were in Paris, and we were in a hurry, and we'd had breakfast, and I stood. I didn't yet have the bill, and I kind of stood and was wrestling with my pack. The woman in the cafe didn't come over with the bill for 10 minutes, and I knew why, and I accepted it. I had been rude. So sometimes I think as tourists, we think that we're being treated badly, but we actually did something to trigger the action. There's an expectation that we be treated, that we treat the French in the way that they also treat you, which is with this kindness and grace. And you see it the way people treat each other as well.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say the story that I started the hour with at my experience at the cafe in Paris, that the waiter really wasn't rude. I was a little afraid to ask if he could speak English, because I didn't think he was understanding me. But he was a very, besides saying, but of course, he did help us out very much, and it was a wonderful experience at
mm-hmm.
that cafe. And that cheese was, I live in Wisconsin and have all my life. We have great cheese here. That was even better.
Hey, that's something for somebody from Wisconsin to say, because you do have great cheese.
Yeah, it was. It was great. But I don't know how the French stay so skinny eating that cheese all the time, but it's because they don't eat as much, I guess.
They walk.
Yeah.
One of the things I've noticed is that the French walk, and when they walk very fast.
Yeah.
And I think that might have something to do with it as well. It's at least in southern France, it's a very outdoor culture as well, and that keeps you healthy.
Yeah. Thank you, Carolyn, for the call. Diane in Whitewater, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. If you're wondering where this attitude comes from, I would say go back to Chaucer and Shakespeare. You still see digs against the French, and of course we're a country whose ancestors came from England, and that attitude gets handed down over generation after generation. I would recommend a book called from Polly Platt, called French or Faux. If you want to understand French culture and mindset, she does a wonderful job talking about the different ideas of attitudes toward customers in stores and in restaurants, and the French in school systems, and it's a wonderful book. I would also
French or Faux. That's
French or Faux.
Yeah.
And then I would recommend going to Normandy, where I stayed during the anniversary of the French invasion, or the Normand invasion, excuse me. You go that there, and the streets are just lined with signs that say, "Welcome to our liberators." The streets have Allied flags strung across them. One woman said to me, "We understood why the English would come and help us, because they were right across the channel. But we never understood," she said, "I was always amazed that Americans would come and die on our shores." And I thought that was beautiful.
Professor Lanson?
Thank you, Diane. I will get that book, and it's a beautiful story about Normandy.
Next we go to Chris in Appleton. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. The origin of the French being rude, I think, actually started with after World War II, with the movement of the expatriates. All that's all, like, high school textbooks and history books, it says, it explains the expatriate movement, the famous authors and the celebrities moving to France, that high life, and then talking about, you know, the gay life, the sex, and everything else, and the partying that went on there. My own personal bias against France has to do with the no-fly zone during the first Gulf War, which cost the Americans millions of dollars. And I'll take comments off the air. Thank you.
Do you think we can trace the roots of this to that, the expatriate movement? Jerry Hanson?
I'm not quite sure how to respond to that. I mean, one thing that is true, I mean, people like Baldwin, there are many artists who moved to France, many minority artists and writers who went to France because they felt they were facing prejudice in the United States. But I'm not sure exactly what he was referring to.
Well, I think let me expand or guess what he's maybe there is this this thought that the French are the Moulin Rouge and Ooh La La and sex and drugs and rock and roll.
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certainly no question that France is a country of great grace and mm-hmm. style and fashion and, yes, sensuality. But I think often we also, again, mocking the French. I mean, one of the things that's really unusual when you come here is that men in the marketplace stand and kiss each other on both cheeks. Now, that's mm-hmm. unusual for the United States. And perhaps the first time that you're in that experience, you know, the first time you go in a house and you're shaking hands, well, I've kissed French kids on both cheeks now. It seems to me to be very natural when you let yourself think about the fact that a handshake in some ways is a way of pushing somebody away, and it's simply different. Every culture has its own way of greeting, and I think it shows to me some of the warmth of French mm-hmm. culture. So I don't see this as a decadent culture by any stretch of the imagination. I do see it as a very graceful and sensual as well culture. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Pan in Racine is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. Bonjour. Mm-hmm. I went to France in 2005, and I had a wonderful experience from Paris to Rennes, because I have a cousin, a relative in Rennes, so I travel by train with another cousin, and I'm a Vietnamese. I learned French culture when I was young, so some lullaby I remember. But this is a unique experience. There's a woman, Caucasian, with a 2-year-old son, and he's so restless, and he's moving twist and turn, and I studied about childcare, and I know the child's lack of stimulant. So I offered my window seat for her. She appreciated that, and the kid had a good time. And then by the time we were ready to onboard the train, and the kid just fussy again, so I began to sing a lullaby in French. And guess what? Hmm. 4 or 5 gentlemen and lady around the vicinity where we were sang with me that song, and it was upbeat experience for me, because that past experience bring up to help that child. And I'm a Vietnamese. I'm not American. Mm-hmm. I live in America. I'm American, but Asian looking. But they treat me as well.
What a wonderful story. I wish we had time for you to sing us that lullaby, Pan.
Yeah, but like the kissing in the cheek when I went to Rennes, all my relatives give me both sides of cheek. They're Vietnamese. and Cambodian living in Cambodia, and they live in France, they're doctors and dentists and whoever, and they kiss me both cheeks, and I'm surprised, you know, that is uncomfortable. But after that, I get used to it.
Yeah. Pam, thank you so much for the call. We have less than a minute to go. Jerry Lanson, a reaction to her story?
I agree with her. Mm-hmm. It's something you get used to, and in a sense, it's a very warm and accepting and way of people greeting each other. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Jerry Lanson, a professor of journalism at Emerson College. He wrote an article entitled The French Connection that was in the Christian Science Monitor, where he talks about his experiences in France and wonders where the stereotype comes from that the French are so snobby, because that's not the case in his experience. He currently is on sabbatical, living in Aix-en-Provence, France. Thanks to Keisha Mabra, who produced this hour, and I think spent last summer in Paris, and to Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.